This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
Hello, everyone. Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. This is episode number 64, and this is a practical firearms podcast. I'm not a gunsmith. I'm not ex-law enforcement. I'm not a combat trainer. None of that stuff. Just an ordinary guy trying to make a living every day, like all of you listening to this show, I'm sure. And I just share personal experiences with you. Every once in a while, my opinion comes out. I just talk about everyday carrying, owning, and shooting handguns, primarily. And I'm just a Yankee with a gun, born in New York City, raised in Wisconsin. I now call the Dallas-Fort Worth area my home, the great Republic of Texas, gun-friendly state. Now, if you are listening to this, you might be scratching your head and you might be thinking, why is Bob putting out a podcast right now? He's supposed to be on vacation. And yes, I am on vacation. By the time you hear this, I'll be long gone. It is Saturday morning, June 12th, and I am actually on the way to the Texas State IDPA Championship. So this was recorded on Saturday the 12th, but I'm probably not going to post this until sometime next Wednesday or Thursday while I'm enjoying a good break with my family. But I figured that I hadn't had a chance to do anything on the IDPA state match, and some of you listening have emailed me and asked me to do an update. So this is on my way to the match. I want to share some thoughts with you I've got going right now on the way to that. And then when it's over, I will dictate a recap and tell you what happened. So there's actually going to be two segments to this show. Before I do that, there is something that I want to mention. I'd like to clear up some things that have been said out there. Oh, by the way, too, if you hear a little bit of noise, I just pulled up to a stoplight right now. I'm actually in my car, so if you hear some background noise, I'm actually trying something new. I'm trying to keep some of the background noise out. I'm using a little bit of a different headset and a different microphone, so let's see if this makes a difference. Okay, what I want to cover is that a few podcasts ago, I did an interview with a guy named Steve, who is a concealed carry instructor, and he's a liberal Democrat up in the state of Minnesota. He prefers that I keep his last name private, but his name is Steve. And during that podcast, if you haven't listened to it yet, there was a spot in the show where we started talking about the Brady campaign. And Steve, my guest on the show, was talking about how they started as a Republican group and then became real liberal and very whacked out. I mean, and then they are insanely wrong on the gun control argument, okay? I want to get that out there right now. They are insanely wrong. What was meant by that Republican comment is that Mr. Brady was a Republican. Mr. Brady was a Republican that received a lot of awards. He was working for Ronald Reagan. We were not trying to point out the fact that the Brady Group started as a Republican group and that it was backed by Republicans. No way. I don't believe that's true. Now, if I'm wrong, set me straight. Go ahead and put a comment on the blog or on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum. But let me just be very, very clear. I think that the Brady campaign is 100% wrong on the gun argument. And I'm very sorry about what happened to him that day when Ronald Reagan was shot. And yes, there were other people that were shot that day too. But I got to tell you, I will do everything in my power on this show with my money and with my voice to defeat the agenda of the Brady campaign. All they want to do, folks, is disarm law-abiding citizens like you and me listening to this show. So I don't want my words to be misconstrued, and let's just put that out there right now and say that I want to be on record, on public, on this podcast, saying that I don't support them in any way. I'm talking about the Brady campaign, because some of you have emailed me and asked me what was meant by that whole show. The point that Steve and I were trying to make on that interview is that gun rights is something that we need to protect. And it doesn't matter what political party that you side with. All opinions are welcome on this show, folks. And I try to keep my show as balanced as I can. Now, I will classify myself as an ultra-conservative. You've probably figured that out now if you've listened to enough of my shows. And if that offends you, I'm sorry. If the fact that I'm an ultra-conservative offends you, makes you turn me off and say, I'm not going to listen to this joker anymore, well, then you know what? So be it. I hope not, because I try to keep this show about guns. I don't like this to be a political show. I just want to say that right up front. I don't like for this to be a political show. There's a lot of podcasts out there where you can get filled with politics. But gun rights apply to you whether you're liberal, conservative, libertarian, whatever. It doesn't matter. You have a right to keep and bear arms, plain and simple. So the main point here, and then I'll shut up about this, let's just remember that gun ownership and gun rights does not apply to just one type of a political thinking person. Okay? With that, let me go ahead and put that issue away now. All right, let me give you some of my thoughts here before the IDPA state match. First of all, I'm shooting my Glock 34. For some of you who are listening and may not know what the Glock 34 model is, because I do know I have a lot of new gun owners. And let me just kind of go over some things with you about that gun, why I chose it, why I own it. And a lot of you experienced shooters that listen to this, you're probably saying, come on, Bob, I know what a Glock 34 is. I got a few thoughts, though, that I want to share with you, see if this may help you. The Glock 34 is really the long slide version of the Glock 17. So the Glock 17 was the very first Glock ever produced. Glock decided that they were going to produce a more competition-friendly version of the Glock 17. So they came out with the Glock 34. It's chambered in 9mm. First of all, it's definitely not my carry gun. Way too big. My primary carry gun, as you know, is the Glock 19. Now, if you're a 1911 fan, or a Smith & Wesson M&P fan, or a Springfield XD fan, or a Beretta, or if you like SIGs, or if you like Kimbers, or Springfields, whatever, that's okay. All right? Because you're a handgun owner, and you're a handgun enthusiast. And I like that. You're my kind of person. I just happen to prefer Glocks. The reason I got this is because the trigger and all the manual of arms and the way that this gun operates is just like my daily carry gun, the Glock 19. So I'm keeping with the same system. What I mean by that is I'm keeping with the same platform of gun. So when I compete and I practice and I train, I'm using the same kind of trigger as the gun that I primarily carry. Now, the sights are a little bit different on my Glock 34. Out of the box, it comes with Glock's cheap plastic sights that I really don't like, and the rear sight is adjustable. I took those off right away. I installed a real good set of Warren Tactical Savigny carry sights. So today I'm going to shoot my Warren Tactical Savigny carry sights. I'll put a link to those sites so you can take a look at them. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see what I'm talking about. Black on black, I like it. I like a black front sight and I like black rear sight. That's just me. I guess I'm just kind of an old-fashioned shooter and I like that stuff. I know that there'll probably be a lot of people that'll be using the fiber optic front sights today. I'm going to stick with my black on black. The rear sight has a nice wide notch, so it gives me a lot of real estate, a lot of light. See, you want that. You want that, especially in competition shooting, because it helps you get more precise shots that way. So I love these sights. I've been shooting them now for close to a year on this gun, and I think they're excellent and they're working well for me. The only modification I've made to this Glock 34 is I have changed out the trigger return spring, and I've put an overpowered spring in there. It does help lighten the trigger pull a little bit. It's a Wolf spring. That's it. Otherwise, this gun, except for the sights and that trigger return spring, is completely stock. Now, one of the things that I did about 6 weeks ago, I reinstalled the extended slide release lever. And I kind of went against my school of thought here, Because as you know, I prefer the overhand tug method of chambering a new round after a slide lock reload. For those of you who don't know what that means, slide lock reload means after I have shot all the rounds in my magazine, which in the stock service pistol division that I'm going to be competing in today, I can only start with 10 rounds in the magazine and one round in the gun. So once I have shot all 11 rounds, my gun will be at what's called slide lock. The slide will be open. It will be locked back because it will be out of ammo. When I perform the reload, I have to obviously chamber the new round. For defensive purposes, I prefer the overhand tug, where I take my weak hand and I place it on top of the slide, and I have my fingers on either side of the slide, and I give that thing a good tug and then let it fly forward. The reason for that is because it requires less fine motor skills. In a combat self-defense situation, your nerves are going to make your motor skills go out the window, your fine motor skills. However, for competition, it is a bit faster to use my strong hand thumb. And one nice thing about the Glock 34 is it's got a nice extended slide release lever on it that I can use my strong hand thumb to chamber that new round. I do not suggest that you train this way for defensive purposes. I've been training this way a little over 6 weeks, and it's working out. And I'm going to use it today, and after today's match, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to go back to using the overhand tug. In the past, I've called that slingshot method, and some of you have called me on that. I guess it's not a real good term to use, so I'm not going to say slingshot method anymore. But today, I am going to use the slide release lever, the extended one, because I think it's going to be faster for me and save me a bit of time. I'm going to go for score today. I'm not going for anything else. I'm just going for my best score. And I'm getting myself mentally prepared. All right, the other thing I like about this Glock 34 is I am using the extended magazine release button, so that makes the reloads quite a bit faster. And I also have something in this gun that I do not have in my carry gun, and that is a grip plug. You've heard me talk about that I don't like the grip plugs. For self-defense carry purposes, my opinion, stay away from the grip plug. The reason is you can't get your thumb in there very easy in case you have to rip the magazine out. Sometimes, folks, you can have a malfunction with your gun, even Glocks. All right? Anybody who tells you that their Glock never malfunctions, I have a hard time believing that. My Glocks have malfunctioned. Not very often, but they have. It's easier to get your thumb inside that magazine well to rip out the magazine if you have to rip it out in case you have some kind of a malfunction. Today, though, this is competition. This is not self-defense. These targets are not shooting back. I'm not going to be under a huge amount of stress, except I'll be a little bit nervous at first, I'm sure. All right, but the kind of stress I'm talking about is I'm not going to be under fighting stress. So I got the grip plug in there to help me because it is angled and it does give me, it does make reloading easier. It makes inserting that fresh magazine easier. So it's all about speed today. It's all about setting this gun up to help me with speed any way I can. I've even put a little bit of fiberglass boat polish inside of my magazine carriers to make them a little bit more slick. That's a little trick that I want to share with you. I can't remember the name of this stuff I got, but it's in a spray can, and it's used to polish fiberglass boats. Oh, man, what is the name of this stuff? I left it at home. Anyway, last night I sprayed a little bit on a rag. Now, one of the things you don't want to do is you don't want to put too much of this polish inside your mag carriers. If you put too much in there, it actually gets sticky. But you got to do it just the right way. But you know, if you ever polish a fiberglass boat, you notice how it's real smooth and slick on the outside. I've done the same thing to the inside of my holster and the inside of my magazine pouches. There's still enough retention. I don't think they're going to fall out inadvertently. I don't want that to happen. There's enough retention, but it's nice and slick. The Glock slides in and out of my holster very nice, and the magazines go in and out of my holster very nice. So I've tuned up my rig here for speed, speed, speed. And of course, You know, the one thing I like about the Glocks is I don't have to worry about this polish stuff that I've put inside my holster and my mag pouches ruining the finish of the Glocks, because the Glocks finish is just so tough. I don't have to worry about that. Okay, now, also I want to talk about, I've got myself mentally prepared as best as I can. I know I'm going to have to shake off some nerves. Thank you, Steve Z, for giving me some good mental tips. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, go to the Gun Rights Radio Network forum and check that out. There's a thread there on competition shooting. And this is a good time for me. I kind of just remembered I need to do some announcements here. The website is handgunworld.com. My YouTube channel is Handgun World Show on YouTube. Check out my videos there. You can also interact with me at the Gun Rights Radio Network forum, because, as you know, this show is part of the Gun Rights Radio Network. Support them, folks. Become part of their forum. Also, donate to their cause for a couple bucks a month. You can be a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network. You can go to gunrightsradio.com and check that out. I will be making a small donation soon to the Gun Rights Radio Network. A lot of you have been supporting this show financially. To those of you who have been supporting this financially, thank you very much. I am going to be donating a portion of what you have sent to the Gun Rights Radio Network, because I believe in their cause. And pretty soon, when I get back from vacation, I am going to start a fundraising drive to try to raise some money for some good causes and good gun rights organizations out there. But that's it for the announcements. That's all I want to say. So thanks, Steve Z, for putting all the mental preparation information on the forum. I've read that a few times, and that's going to help me out a lot, too. I think the main thing that's going to help me today is I'm going to have to slow down and win. I'll say that again, because some of you might be scratching your head saying, what did he say? I'm going to slow down and win. What I'm going to have to overcome today, for me personally, you might be different, I don't know, but I'm going to have to overcome trying to shoot too fast, trying to go too fast, trying to do everything too fast. You know, it's a temptation that is out there, and it's a hard temptation for me to resist, okay? And sometimes I go too fast, and I have too many brain farts. And then I start making stupid mental mistakes. And this is a mental game. This is about mental conditioning. I recently did a podcast on mental conditioning. And last night I went and re-listened to my own podcast that I did on mental conditioning. Because, you know, sometimes I have to remind myself of some of the stuff I know. I'm not an expert by any means. Please don't think I'm some kind of an expert. I'm just an ordinary Joe. But I've learned a few things along the way. And one of the great benefits I have in doing this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, is that this podcast helps me, too. All right? I guess I have to admit I have a little bit of a selfish reason in doing this, because when I do this show, it makes me think intensely about this stuff. And so it sharpens me, too. If it helps you, that's great. That's why I do this show. I do this show for a couple of reasons. To save lives, to help you with your shooting, to advance the cause of gun rights, and I also do it to have a heck of a lot of fun. And that's what I try to accomplish with this. So I went back and I re-listened to my mental conditioning ideas, and I read Steve Z's post on the forum several times, and I think I'm ready. I'm going to be my usual jovial self while I'm there. During competition, I like to relax. I like to chat with people. I don't know how many people are going to be willing to chat or not. You know, I've never shot a sanctioned match like this before. So I don't know. Some people might not want to talk to me. I'll get a feel pretty quick whether they want to chat. But I like to just kind of keep myself loose. I like to crack jokes. You know, I like to just laugh a lot. I'm there to have fun. This is how I calm my nerves down. One of the things I'm going to do today is I'm not going to take this too seriously. If I don't win my division, or if I'm not in the top five, that's okay. That's really okay. I'm not one of these super serious people that is going to get freaked out if I mess up one stage. That's just not me. I'm just going to take it all in. I'm going to enjoy the feeling of a state match. I think we've got nearly 200 shooters that are going to be there, some of the best from the state of Texas. So I'm going to see how I stack up against some of the best. And that's also what I'm really excited about. For those of you who are not in some kind of a competitive shooting sport, let me just say again, and I've mentioned it, but I'll mention it again. Get involved in the shooting sports. It is really an excellent level of camaraderie, first of all. You make some good friends. You also improve your gun handling skills. The shooting sports are not hardcore combat training techniques. It's not what you're going to get, but you're going to get some good gun handling skills from it. You're going to get a little bit of practice responding under stress, shooting under stress. Okay, you're going to get to practice your reload. You're going to get to practice getting your sight picture properly. You're going to get to practice your stance. You're going to make sure that your equipment works. You're going to find out what kind of failures you have in your equipment. You're going to find out some weaknesses in your rigs, your holsters, your magazines, your sights, your gun. See, one of the best things, I think one of the best benefits you get out of shooting sports is you get to go test your equipment as well as your skills. For those of you who are still working on giving your gun the 1,000-round trigger job that I recommend, get involved in USPSA or IDPA or any other kind of shooting sports out there. That'll help you get to your 1,000-round trigger job pretty quickly. So go to IDPA.com or USPSA.com and find a club that is near you and get involved. So that's going to conclude the first segment of this show. I'm looking at my GPS. It says I'm going to be there in about 35 minutes. So I'm going to shut up and I'm going to get myself mentally focused here while I'm completing the drive out to Jacobs Plain Gun Club in Greenville, Texas for the Texas State IDPA match. So folks, I will go ahead and give you about a 15 to 20 minute recap when it's over. You'll hear from me again on the drive home, and I'll be back. So let's take about 30 seconds. At least for you, it's going to be about 30 seconds. For me, it's going to be 7 or 8 hours. But let's take a break here, and I'll be back on after the match. Talk to you later. Okay, Bob Main back for segment number 2 of episode number 64 of the Handgun World Show. The IDPA Texas State match is over. 11 hours later, you only got to take a 30-second break. This is 11 hours later on Saturday evening as I'm driving home. But I got to tell you, folks, that was a complete blast. It was so much fun. I tell you what, you know, first of all, I want to say this. I accomplished a couple of goals. One goal was I wanted to stay loose and not get nervous. And to me, it just seemed like another match. And it was a lot of fun. The other is I got a chance to meet some really cool, cool people. I got a chance to meet Gordon Carroll, who's sponsored by Smith & Wesson. And he was the stock service pistol champion. I got a chance to meet Greg Garrett, the owner of CompTac. In fact, I bought a couple of CompTac holsters, which I'll tell you about in a little bit. And by watching some of these experts shoot, I tell you, I was on the squad with Gordon Carroll the first couple of stages, and boy, he's good. He is really good. And just being able to be with some of the best shooters, there were 11 states represented, and just to be with some of the best shooters in this part of the country and in this region was really quite the experience. The first 8 stages, it was a 12-stage match, folks. The first 8 stages, I did not have any procedural penalties. Unfortunately, I ended up the day with 2 procedural penalties. Now, out of 12 stages, only 2 procedurals, that's pretty much the best that I've done. And basically, you know, if I'd have been using my head, one time I just wasn't using cover well enough, and I got called for cover, and then the other was I just engaged a target on the move when I was supposed to engage it from cover. So, pretty much, I guess you could say it was 2 cover violations, and I'm proud of that for me. You know, I finished in the bottom half of my division, which I'm not happy with that. I did take it slow. I wanted to be accurate. I was only 45 points down for the whole match, 12 stages. That's less than 4 points down for each stage. I'll take that. I wanted to only be about 15 points down. But I ended up zeroing out two complete stages. And what that means, if some of you are not familiar with IDPA, to zero out a stage means that I was accurate enough where they didn't have to add any time to my score. I hit the zero ring on every shot. I think the zero ring's like 8 inches or something like that. So I'll take 45 points down for a 12-stage match. You know, I've got to build speed. And finishing in the bottom half of the sharpshooter category was not what I wanted to do. I wanted to finish in the top half. But you know what? My goal was to go there, have fun, not get nervous, see what some of the good shooters do. My equipment was fine. You know, I got a chance to test my equipment and to push my equipment to the limit. And it was great. And I got tired. I got tired. But for the first 8 stages, it was great. I pretty much lost it. I had the brain fades on the last 4 stages. I will get better. I'll probably shoot another sanctioned match before the year is over. I also have to say that when I was testing my equipment, one thing that really came to light was my sights. And no pun intended there. But what I'm trying to say is that these Warren Tactical Savigny sights, I just absolutely love them. And matter of fact, after shooting this state match and shooting the last 7 or 8 IDPA matches with them, I guess actually it's probably been about a dozen matches that I've shot with them. I think I'm going to put them on one of my Glock 19s as well. They're quite fast, and my CompTac holster worked out just great. I use a CompTac belt holster built for a Glock 34, and that was just, you know, I love Greg Garrett's stuff over at CompTac. So let me go ahead and take this opportunity to tell you, you know, CompTac was one of the sponsors of the match, and I don't work for them, I don't represent them in any way, but I do use their holsters, and I just bought 2 new ones, and I want to tell you about and tell you why. I have been considering buying the MTAC for a long time, and I bought the neutral cant version so that I can appendix carry my Glock 19. Well, at the table there, they had CompTac holsters for people to try. And I got a chance to try before I bought. And let me tell you what, that neutral cant MTAC holster for appendix carry for the Glock 19 is, it fits me great. And it's real comfortable. I had a chance to sit and move around in different positions and things. And I think it's going to be excellent for inside the waist. And then I also bought the CompTac Gladiator for outside the waist. Got a chance to try that. Super comfy. Both of them are super comfy. Should have any problem carrying my Glock 19 all day in either one of those. And I'm a firm believer that, as I mentioned in the other podcast, you've got to have a good holster. And, you know, there's a couple things that a good holster does for you. First of all, it makes you want to carry your gun more. Second of all, it makes you... I think it makes you a better shooter, and that's one of the pieces of the system. Remember, your holster, your ammo, your gun, and everything all work together as a system, like I mentioned before. And so your a good holster is part of your overall shooting and self-defense system. So think about that as you select a holster. If some of you are not familiar with CompTac's products, both of those holsters that I bought today are hybrid holsters. They're leather on the part that fits up against your body, and then they're Kydex on the they're Kydex shells. So it gives you the ability for a fast draw and one-handed reholstering, and it's got everything that I like about it. So I think it's going to work out very well. And if it doesn't, CompTac has a 30-day return policy, and they're very good about that. They call it the no BS return policy. And now that I had a chance to shake hands with Greg Garrett, the owner, and actually I was on one of his squads as well. Just a super guy. I think it's going to be a pleasure doing business with CompTac. Okay, I want to wrap up this recap of the state championship by talking about probably the most difficult stage that was there. We had to start in the seated position, and funny thing is they called it the strange gun stage. And what that was is from a seated position, there was a gun that we did not bring to the match that we had to start with. And there were 2 targets in front of us. And from the sitting position, we had to grab the strange gun, which was only loaded with 5 rounds. And we had to Mozambique the first target, which is 2 to the body and 1 to the head. And then Mozambique the second target. But think about what I just said. It was only the gun only had 5 rounds in it to begin with. So what that means is on the second target, after shooting two to the body, there was no ammo left in the gun. It was a slide lock reload. So then we had to stand and draw our gun and finish that second Mozambique, which was a headshot. Then from that point, we had to move to three different shooting positions and double tap two targets each. At the last shooting position, you had to shoot a steel pepper popper. And once you shot the steel pepper popper, then a swinger popped up. And it didn't give you much time to shoot it. I mean, it just kind of popped up for a second and a half. You had to shoot it, and then it disappeared. So it was a great chance. It was a great all-in-one stage. We got to shoot from a seated position, shoot an unfamiliar gun, shoot from three different positions, using cover, and then shoot a moving target that eventually disappears and only gives you a second and a half to shoot it. Now, guess what the strange gun was? A Glock 19. So for me, it wasn't strange. For me, it was great. When I saw that there and saw that it was a Glock 19, I felt right at home. That the first part of that stage was very fun. But to me, that was the most challenging stage of the match. And I saw a lot of people have a lot of errors on that because it was very easy to move out of cover. In fact, I'm going to post that to the to my YouTube channel. You're going to see me get a procedural on that for not using cover as well as I should have. So it wasn't a bad stage, and even though I'm kind of embarrassed, I got a procedural penalty on that. Oh, what, you know, who cares? What the heck? It was just a lot of fun anyway. So that was the most difficult stage. My favorite stage was where, at the sound of the buzzer, you drew your pistol and you did the Mozambique again, two to the body, one to the head, on two targets, one left, one right. You started with only six rounds, so that means that I'm at slide lock now. And you perform a slide lock reload, move to position two, and triple tap two targets with the strong hand only. And that magazine was only loaded to six rounds, so now you're at slide lock again. Reload, put the gun in your weak hand, and from the left side of the barricade, triple tap two more targets. So it was a total of 18 rounds, but what I really liked about that is in one stage, it combined the Mozambique technique, which is two to the body, one to the head, and strong hand shooting and weak hand shooting. I really like that. And I was only one down for the entire, so all six of those targets, I only had one flyer. So I was real pleased with that too, especially strong hand and weak hand shooting. So important to practice that. So with that said, there is a brief recap. I'm exhausted, folks. I'm just really spent. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off. And this is going to be the last podcast that you hear from me until Friday, the 2nd of July. Because as I told you in the beginning, right now, I am on vacation. So have a good one, folks. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 64 of the Handgun World Show. This is Bob Main, fresh off of the Texas IDPA State Championship. I'm going to take about a month off of shooting now and just relax and get my mind off it. It'll be a good break. But thanks for tuning in. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Don't forget to put some comments on the blog page. Put some comments on the Gun Rights Radio Network forum. And I'll catch you later, folks. Thanks. Bye-bye.